Blaues Rausch, Rausch, Rausch. In episode 33, artist and musician Tim Löde meets Thomas Lehn and Georg Greve at Café Weidinger in Vienna to talk about improvising and composing together with electronic and acoustic sounds, as well as the unique qualities of their instruments, piano and analog synthesizer. As a duo, they present their electroacoustic performance Key Commands at the Blaues Rauschen Festival, where Greve's piano and Lehn's synthesizer are linked via microphones. This connection opens up a new space for musical interaction in which each instrument shapes and responds to the other. Although they have known each other for over 30 years, this is their first joint performance. Thomas Lehn is one of the most prominent performers and artists in new and contemporary music, electroacoustics and live improvisation. He is a founding member of the ensemble Hiatus and has worked with Toot and Markus Schmickler, among others. He has also performed works by Ilion Radic and Zbigniew Karkowski. His current solo project is entitled Synclavia. Georg Greve lives in Vienna. At the age of 18, he founded his first quintet and later led numerous ensembles, including the Grubenklang Orchestra. He is a fixture on the international avant-garde jazz scene and has worked with Anthony Braxton, Evan Parker, and Roscoe Mitchell. He currently conducts the Sonic Fiction Orchestra in Vienna.
Hi Thomas, hi Georg. I'm very happy to meet you here in this Viennese cafe, so thank you very much for being here. And I would like to start right away with the first question. Could you tell us how you connect with each other on both a musical and a technical level during your upcoming performance?
I think musically we can connect because there's a certain section of experience in a certain field of music that kind of intersects. Not everything, but a certain thing, I guess. Experiences in playing with certain people and playing in a scene that is so-called freely improvised.
Technically, it's basically the idea of that performance particular is, as the title suggests, Key Commands, is a little bit that you give commands in the sense that we are, the instruments are interconnected. So that means the piano signal runs via a microphone mixing board into the synthesizer, and then happens two things happen. One is that that I play with the piano sounds, with the synthesizer sounds together, or merge them or transform them. On the other hand, an audio signal is always a voltage, it's a tension, yeah? So it changes amplitude. And this amplitude, we call that CV, control voltage, is changing parameters of, for example, pitch, timbre, the amount of reverb or panning.
I would also like to point out that it's it takes a lot of experience to do something like that. It's not that we have decades of experience in dealing with musical composition. I would always like to say that improvisation is a discipline of musical composition. It's the highest discipline of musical composition. A composer who can't improvise is not a real composer, I think. And that doesn't mean that he has to perform, but some composers can write very fast, like Schoenberg, for instance. And he said that composition is slowed down improvisation. And so I think it's one of the core elements of music making.
How important is the musical instrument's haptic and physicality to you, and how does it influence the way you perform and the music you create?
It's very important, but I'm playing the piano, so you have to like it. It's about the feel of the piano. It's about the how you deal with it, and it's not music making for me. It's not a conceptual thing, you know. It's you gather a lot of experience, you gather a lot of information, and then when you actually perform, you don't really want to think about that, and you feel something. Maybe even if it's only the keys or something, but you feel something definitely.
So for me, it's like this. I come from the piano. It's my instrument. And the synthesizer was just where I came back to, in a way. I mean, it's also the mind, I mean, who makes the body being involved. So the physicality is for me very crucial. And you know, very strange is also, and you will see that I don't like to sit behind the box. That means I'm not interested in any stupid show or something like that, but I sit always in a way that also the people can see I'm doing something with my hands.
I would love to hear about your approach to improvisation and how you integrate electronic and acoustic sounds. How do these two worlds connect for you, and where are they different?
If it's improvised, you know, there's so many misunderstandings about improvisation. Some people think it's just spontaneous, you do something, you know, it's not that. Or like Joël Léandre, the eminent bass player from France, said improvised music is not improvised. And I think that's a very good quote. Because there's so much preparation not in terms of like a concept of what you're actually going to do, but just building up things, building up experience.
Yeah, and I'd like much more to speak about authorship than of whether it's composed or improvised. So we could say there is music coming from this and this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ligeti writes it down, we do it ad hoc. So, and it's also not possible to do the same. There are things which you can't write down. There are things which are composed you can't improvise. I mean, this is totally clear.
No, not for me, but...
Not for you?
Let's agree on being different about that.
Improvise. I mean, you have to see that. I mean, there are some compositions which you can't improvise as such. There are some things which I don't think you can improvise them. It would not happen. There are things, if I look to Xenakis pieces or Ligeti, there are pieces which in that way they would not manifest in an improvisation. But vice versa, there are compositions, what you manifest in, especially the directness of creation, you are not representing your daily life on stage. It's
really
not that. I mean, there is an art form itself. It's something... Basically, you are anyway in another world in that moment, in any case.
Yes.
In the ideal case, you know. In the ideal case, you are in another world. And that's actually also the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that you are in that moment of time somewhere else.
Well, I'd say for me, it's like you're in the realm of pure speculation. I think speculation was a good word.
And would you say there's any difference between improvising or composing with acoustic sounds or with electronic sounds?
It gives you some... There's maybe one little thing, but it's also more technical thing, because the electronic instrument, a synthesizer or computer, can also offer you something. You know, it can some auto activity. It can throw something at you. Which accidentally could also happen in the piano. Something falls or you hit another key than you expected. Stochastically, you know. You
can, okay. That's,
yeah, yeah. But there is something which also the machine gives to you as a player. Something. Sometimes I say, oh, let's hang on. So I react to what came out back, you know. So that's maybe a little tiny difference. But nevertheless, I have to... make my position to it and progress on.
A piano offers you a lot, and you have to reject. You have to keep rejecting all the time because it offers way too much.
That's the
thing, you know. Everybody can get a sound out of a piano. It's not like a trumpet or anything. You just do that, and then something comes out. A lot of things, even if you learn to play. A lot of things are offered to you that you just don't want, so you have to find a way.
I find this actually, so we are not so far.
Yeah, we are not.
Yeah, not so far. I mean, because also that is true.
No, I think it's much easier for you because the piano has all this history. What comes out? Oh, this sounds like that. This sounds like that. It's much, much harder to find your own.
But as you said, there are still sounds coming from the instrument that you have to work with or react, right?
I mean, I like to be surprised by incident. I really love that, if that happens. Also with other players, that something comes from the other and you are, oops, you're listening up. So the only thing...
like a slapstick.
Yeah.
Somebody throws water at you.
So the only thing which is really, one thing which is in technology a challenge in playing is when something doesn't work. Yeah, for some reasons you missed for the synthesizer.
Yeah.
It happens that sometimes it doesn't go where you want, or when you, and then you have to give up that you want. It's also training, yeah. You have to give up to want. Yeah, so you have to let. You know, and then I have to switch myself in that moment when something, the synthesizer has a mistake or there is something patch bin, whatsoever, something I forgot to plug or something is not coming, what I think should come. And then comes a technological thinking, which absolutely interferes with the process where you're actually in at the moment. So this is a disturbance, and also there I have to adapt and let it be like it is, you know. I have to deal with that. You know, actually, this practice is very much also about accepting a situation and going always from there and trying to keep in touch with it.
I'm just laughing because I have this situation all the time because I'm playing different instruments wherever I go. And so I have to adjust to that. Some do this, some don't do that. So I have to find out. You have a different instrument. Every instrument is different, and you have to like adjust to that and find out what it can do and what it can't do, or we'll just ignore that and do something else. Mm. And but I was also going to say that for me, it's some kind of poetry. I don't really think about the instrument. I mean, there's a technical side when you get on stage or before, hopefully, sometimes not. You have a chance to check out the piano. Okay, then you can check out certain deficiency in certain regions or whatever. That's all right. You can deal with that. So you adjust your playing to that. You don't ask the piano to do something that it cannot do at all.
So my last question is, what do the current technological developments in creating music with AI mean to you?
I'm scared about it. I really don't... I'm not using. I try not to use it. When digitalization came up in the 90s, I was really a fan of it, you know. But today, I'm more and more turning away from it. I really don't like the commercialization of the internet, which came so strong and so dictating our lives, and so we are actually very strongly dictated what we have to do. We will definitely be strongly dependent on these things. We are already, and I don't know where that goes.
I think something amusing is what you read all the time. It's like pop music is in real furor about it because you know, these products, these AI songs, they sound the same like they've been doing for many years because they have no ideas. Yeah. Because it's always like, it's maybe, if it comes to, might not even be like 10 chord sequences pop music is using all the time. And so it's so easy to copy. I mean, you don't need AI to copy that. I mean, they've been doing that before anyway. And now it's AI. It's an AI-generated hit. It was before, even before AI, they generated it like that. So that's not a real gain, is it? I thought it was, there's no intelligence in that, because there's no intelligence in these pop songs right from the start. So you actually don't need AI for that. I think AI can do more, and it will.
With decades of experience, these two musicians show us that improvisation is not just a spontaneous act, but one of the highest forms of musical composition. We hope this conversation made you as curious about the upcoming performance as we are. You can experience Thomas Lehns and Georg Greve's performance on the 12th of June at the Domizil in Dortmund during our festival. You have been listening to the Blaues Rauschen podcast. A big thanks to our guests Thomas Lehn and Georg Greve, and to Tim Löde as well as Veronika Batzdorfer for the editorial contribution. Blaues Rauschen.